So thanks, guys, and we'll let people know that you've been listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed or you want your friends or family to hear the show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locus-focus. Next week, we'll talk with Tom Prue, director of World Watch Institute's State of the World series, Anthologies, about creating democracy in sustainable communities from the bottom up. My engineer is Natasha Delapine. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We're going to go out with some very quick music by Joni Mitchell. Thanks for listening.
The Minos is loveless, he talks to the land, and the leaves fall in the pond over ices. She don't know the system, plus she don't understand. She's got all her own fuses and splices. She's not gonna fix it all too. Sticky and black, and the copper proud-headed Queen Lizzie conducts little charges that don't get charged back. Well, the technical manual's busy.
This KBOO program has been made possible by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Seattle Theater Group presenting astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson September 19th and 20th at the Keller Auditorium. Dr. Tyson will explore science as portrayed in pop culture, and tickets and information for his September 20th show are available at portland5.com.
They're not gonna fix it all too easy.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 2016 Festival of Nations. The Festival of Nations is an annual event hosted by the Division Midway Alliance and is a celebration of cultural diversity. Saturday, September 17th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Division Center on the corner of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Division. There will be diverse culinary cuisines provided by a variety of vendors, along with performances by local musicians and dancers, such as Cuba de Son and African showboys, as well as other activities like disc golf, putting, and a large-scale Thomas the Train. That's the Festival of Nations on Saturday, September 17th at the Division Center on the corner of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Division. It runs from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Crema Coffee and Bakery, located at 2728 Southeast Ankeny, serving local coffee and baked goods every day from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, a rib and sandwich counter with patio seating, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue. Dinner was provided by Kuya's Cuisine, a Filipino restaurant located inside the Filipino American Center of Portland at 8917 Southeast Dark Street.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist and your host every second Monday of the month. Today, I'm so happy to be speaking with Elaine Velazquez and Barbara Bernstein about their feature-length documentary, Gaining Ground, which will be shown in Portland at the Hollywood Theater on September 25th at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. The film interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists in inner city Richmond, California, a small family farm in rural Oregon converting from commodity dairy to chemical-free produce, and a large farm in the Willamette Valley transitioning from grass seed to organic grains. Elaine Velazquez and Barbara Bernstein are independent media artists who have spent the past few decades creating award-winning documentary film, radio, and media projects that embrace and illuminate social action, environmental, and human rights through powerful personal stories. Their work has been shown in film festivals, on public television, and radio. They are both part of the Media Project, an advocacy nonprofit 501c3 organization that supports independent media artists whose work addresses social and environmental justice issues of our time. Barbara Bernstein is also a musician and host of KBOO's Locus Focus, which you probably have just been listening to each Monday morning. Gaining Ground is a moving film deeply rooted in the environmental and health issues of our time that affects millions of people. These stories are effectively told through the lives of two family farms, Sungold Farm, located in rural Oregon, who converted from commodity dairy to chemical-free produce, Stalford Farms, a large farm in the Willamette Valley, transitioning from grass seed to organic grains, and finally, Urban Tilth, an urban farming program in Richmond, California, whose mission is to cultivate agriculture in West Contra Costa County to help the community build a more sustainable, healthy, and just food system. Elaine Velazquez and Barbara Bernstein, welcome to Health Watch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So happy to have you. I was so moved by this film, and particularly being an urban girl myself, by the story of Doria Robinson, who's the director of Urban Tilth in Richmond. And she opens her story with the reality of the health effects that food deserts and the proximity of a Chevron refinery contribute to the prevalence of high incidences of asthma, obesity, and other chronic health issues affecting her community. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about that and also about the intersection of rural and urban farming and the effect that it has on our health. Barbara.
Okay. Well, starting with Richmond, California, which was a very amazing place to discover that it's one of the hotbeds of urban agriculture in the United States. It's a community I was vaguely familiar with for years, having lived very briefly in the Bay Area. And when you live in Berkeley, you look at Richmond as a place you drive through to get to Marin County. So it was interesting. You know, there's a lot of refineries and a lot of pollution. So to discover that they had this really vibrant urban ag program, and what it was doing to build up the community was very inspiring, and is why we decided to tell that story. But Richmond is a community with major health issues that come from a combination of it being, before there were people living there, there was the oil refinery. Mm-hmm. It started out as a standard oil refinery back in, I think, 1905. And Chevron, who's the successor of Standard Oil, doesn't really think, in my opinion, that people have as much right to that region to live in as they have the right to continue to refine fossil fuels and to be rather irresponsible about what they're putting into the air and into the water. So it's really important that community activists, which have been working for years and years and years to create a counterforce to Chevron, which they've done, Urban Tilth is kind of like one of many organizations that's creating alternatives to the industrialized vision that the city fathers of Richmond have. And a big part of that is to rebuild the health of the community. And it's the integration of physical health, emotional health, political health, social health.
And community health as well. I mean, the engagement of the young people there and what they do is really extraordinary.
Yeah, they... It's the very important part of the program is that it's training leaders for the future. And so it takes these kids who don't really know what to do with their lives. Some of them have dropped out of high school. Some of them have been trying to go to college, but not very successfully. And Urban Tilth gives these young people jobs, roles, responsibilities, and it really just is a blossoming. It's just an opening of what their abilities are.
Okay, as you know, it's our pledge drive, so we need to take a little pledge break in the middle of our show, and I'm going to turn it over to...
Bill and Ani.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Yes, and let me have you turn it over to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and talk to one of the operators who is dying to take your money. Or if you don't want to talk, that's good too, because we have you covered. KBOO.FM on your internets, and you can give money there. It's the Donate Now button that you need to click, and then the money flows to us. But before we continue with that, I have thank yous from our last hour. Sandy, who renewed in Portland, and James, who renewed in Salem. Yay!
Super fantastic. And now we want you to actually join in the fun. We want you to actually do your part to be empowered and support community media, because, in fact, that is one of the singularly most meaningful things you can do today. Go ahead, pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and know that with your call of support to KBOO Community Radio, you are supporting so many communities, so much information coming to your ears, and you know that you are safeguarding it throughout this day and every day, because in fact, this is the community radio station that is the grassrootsiest, that relies on you, each of our listeners, stepping forward to contribute what they can to make us strong, make us whole, and to keep us going. 877-500-5266. We are the oldest independent listener-supported community radio station in the country. And why? Why have we been able to do that? Because you have been there, and you will continue to be there, because, in fact, KBOO is amazing. We are an amazing community resource, supporting independent filmmakers, supporting activists, supporting social change work in a deep way with your financial doings, right? You make it possible. 877-500-5266. Your contribution of $10 a month goes a long ways to support your community radio station. And think about that. There is so much in life that we do the subscription way. You know, it's how many of us watch our films. It's how many of us listen to music. It's how many of us do a whole lot as we are able to get our entertainment in bite-sized monthly subscriptions. Think about adding KBOO to that list of subscriptions, will you? Just $10 a month is so easy to do, adds up to $120, and you can make it so when you dial 877-500-5266.
So we're back on the air, and we're continuing with this conversation about Urban Tilth in Richmond. Elaine?
Well, Urban Tilth is amazing. Zoria, who's the leader of it, got a really good education. I got out of Richmond and got an kind of middle class, really excellent education and came back. She said, this is the front line and somebody's got to hold it. And this program, she puts the young people who come into her program in charge of these different gardens, and they all take responsibility and they can fail. And it's an amazing, she shows them leadership as right. well as giving the food either away or for a price that the neighborhoods can afford. And it's just a very inspiring program.
Yeah, what was really wonderful, she said, you know, I come back and I, you know, people go, farmer, like, you know, like, how are you going to make a living? And she said, well, this is the best project management training you could ever get, from seed to fruit. You know, how do you manage those plants? And then watching these young people emerge, you know, in their leadership potential, the young woman who ended up going to UC Berkeley, coming from a Mexican immigrant family, and just so proud and so connected to the food that they're growing, and that beautiful food forest that they're creating there, you know, really in a very desolate area where there's no beauty and there's no life. And it's just, it's very, very inspiring.
Well, yes. There's actually, I was thinking about two parts of the health. I mean, the food that they're growing is really healthy food.
Right.
It's
and they're teaching cooking and
right.
all that.
So they're teaching, I mean, they're growing organic food.
Right.
And they're growing all kinds of vegetables and things that one should eat. And then they're teaching the kids how to inspire their parents to change their eating habits. That's one piece. The other piece is Sherman, another of the young people involved with Urban Tilth, who's running the Edible Forest. And he's a visionary. And one of the most moving moments for me when we were filming was he was walking us on this overpass towards the Edible Forest. And, well, it's a bicycle path, and there's this overpass you go through.
And it's very barren.
And it's very barren. You're going through all this industrial, kind of dead industrial landscape. And then there's this, like, you're walking, there's like a little tunnel, there's an archway, and you see this frame, and he holds up his hands like he has a camera, and he says, "This is my Kodak moment. I see this." And he describes, well, at that time, were a bunch of sticks and sheet mulch. It wasn't much going on. This is about 5 years ago. And he's describing this beautiful forest, and you can see that this guy is, he was a 25-year-old visionary. And I think Dory is a visionary, and she's connecting with the young people. She's opening up their own ability to be visionaries.
What was also so powerful with Dory is talking, she talked a lot about being tied to the land and to the community, and that's what really brought her back. And that's a really strong tenet that runs throughout all these three stories.
Yeah, sense of place.
Sense of place.
Yes, I mean, like the Sun Gold is a five-generation farm, the one that went from dairy farming and kind of got thrown out of dairy farming and discovered farmers markets and growing food, you know, organically. And it's all like people kind of returning home and being changed, deeply changed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking a lot about this and about the novelist and poet and activist, environmental activist, Wendell Berry. And he has a quote that I wanted to share because it really seemed to embrace the themes of this film. "Eating is an agricultural act. Eating ends the annual drama of the food economy that begins with planting and birth. Most eaters, however, are no longer aware that that is true. They think of food as an agricultural product, perhaps, but they do not think of themselves as participants in agriculture." And, you know, those two stories, I'd like for you to talk about the two farms in Oregon, because they, you know, they didn't come to change easy. And, you know, Willow spent 16 years trying to convince her husband to go organic. And so those changes were quite profound, and I think also give us an illustration of what can happen out here in the world. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Well, farmers are often they're stubborn in their ways. They're used to their patterns of what they did last year is what you do this year. And Harry is very well known in his community.
He's in Stalford Farms.
Yeah, Stalford Seed Farms, and he does grass seed. He still does grass seed, but his wife Willow really wanted to grow organic food, and really it took them 16 years, and with the help of Harry McCormick, who started Oregon Tilth, to convince Harry to even give it a try.
And really, Willow, that was quite moving when she showed these. She said, "Look, could you look your kids in the eye in the future? You know, every family out here has been touched by cancer. And could you look your kids in the eye and say you didn't do the most to help prevent that?" And he even has had a 60% reduction in the pesticide use of his grass seed.
Yeah, I mean, they're a real inspiring story. And I had read about Willow in the Oregonian, actually. There used to be a wonderful blogger in the Oregonian who wrote about sustainable food, whose name is slipping me at the moment, and she's now doing PR for somebody. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Oregonian, for firing everybody who's good. But she wrote a series of articles about Stafford Sea Farms and about Oregon Grain Breads, which is the when Nature Bake existed. This was the 100-mile bread that was a collaboration between Stafford Seed Farms, Green Willow Grains, which is Willow's company for marketing her grains, and Nature Bake. And when I was reading the description about Stafford Seed Farms and what they were doing, and I put it together that Harry McCormick, when we talked to him a few months earlier, had been talking about this farm, we realized this is a really important, pivotal farm to feature in our film because it's really all about making major change. And I mean, one of our favorite parts in the film is when Harry describes how when they started changing over to organics, he couldn't go to the coffee houses in the community because everybody would make fun of him. "What are those women have you doing now?" And I think that is so graphic, such a classic description of what farming community social life is about and how hard it is to buck that system. Actually, the Hurdles with Sun Gold Farm talk about the same thing, that their neighbors would kind of laugh at them because they had weeds growing in their fields. And what's happened to Charlie and Vicky? They've lost their minds.
Right. And, you know, it also, Harry, it just, I think what that illustrated is for him, you know, his resistance is very much, we see that with people who are trying to change their lives and improve their health. It's hard. And what he did was he went a little bit at a time and tried it out. and saw how things worked. And I thought that was an extraordinary example that we could take, you know, that our listeners could take as well.
Yeah, the film is a lot about taking on change, going against the grain, you know, big ag, and it's not easy. It's just people changing, and why one changes or whatever. It's just, it's difficult, and it's worth it, but it's hard.
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, I think when we see this extraordinary change coming, we also see the thwarting of that change in the refinery fire, where the urban tilth, they had to throw out all the food and really take time to rebuild their soil so they were sure that the food was not poisoned. And also Harry Stalfour talking about the pressure that GMOs are putting on small farms. Also Vicky from SunGold Farms talked about that too. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, actually, we were in California when the fire happened in Chevron. It was going to be our final shoot there, wow, celebratory shoot, and instead it turned into this really dramatic and frightening experience, and we were there to document the whole thing. Mm. So while we were trying to figure out how this was like totally changing the course of the film that we'd envisioned, and Elaine was concerned that there was going to be nothing comparable in drama in the Oregon side, and it was going to just make the story really lopsided. Mm. Well, I'm not sure we can say it was fortunate for the dramatic arc of the film, but not for the farmers of Oregon. About 9 months later, GMO wheat was found in a field in Pendleton, inexplicably.
Eastern Oregon.
In Eastern Oregon. It was like nobody knew how it got there. They hadn't been testing the plants for 10 years. And this had a direct impact on Harry and Willow because they raise almost 1,000 acres of white wheat that's sent to Asia. And it was shipped out of the same facility in the port of Portland where the GMO contaminated wheat was going through. So the markets were shut down for 2 months, and when they did open, the prices were really depressed, and it really infected them, even though it didn't affect their organic wheat, but it just affected the part of the farm that was helping to subsidize the organic farming. And it really shows just how much you're up against. And it also put together the issue of big ag and big oil and how they're intertwined. And this is what we're up against as we're trying to build sustainable communities and small-scale communities and like really building community again as opposed to being part of this global non-community.
Well, it's really like the corporations against people who are trying to build up their local, feeding people locally and sustainably. I mean, Chevron has that particular Chevron's refinery in Richmond has the worst health
safety
record. I mean, these things happen like about every 5 years.
Right, yeah. So, but you know, you have to keep swimming upstream, right?
Keep
that's
going.
That's what your film does. And, you know, it was very interesting. I think Willow and Harry both, you know, very just all American people, you know, talking about labeling. And I thought that
labeling, GMO labeling, yeah,
right. But they brought up the point: hey, we have nutrition labels. We have to label: is it organic? We have to tell you how much sugar there's in it, so people can make their choice. So, what's the difference with GMO labeling?
That's another part about farmers. You know, they're so blunt and down to earth. And I know people who are working very strongly for the GMO labeling initiative that almost passed in Oregon, and they loved that Harry the farmer was coming out with that. In fact, we gave the campaign a little clip from the film to put on their website, because it does show that labeling isn't just an issue for well-off middle-class foodies, but it's an issue for farmers as well.
Yeah, I know you've been working on this film for a number of years, right?
Over five years.
So what's changed for these three farm organizations and people since that time? Do you know?
I believe that urban tilth is going along very well and has recovered.
They've expanded, actually. They started a small urban farm. It's a real farm in North Richmond, which is North Richmond is to the flatlands, the Iron Triangle, where they originally were based, as the Iron Triangle would be to like Berkeley. I mean, North Richmond is really a distressed community, and they're doing amazing work there to really build community.
And Harry and Willow are really struggling because they don't own the land, and so it's hard. I don't want to say something that I don't know is absolutely proven, that there's a lot of anti-organic, you know, so their landlords have been giving them a hard time, and so they're struggling right now. They keep on going.
Yeah.
They're amazingly tenacious. And as far as Sungold goes along just very beautifully. We're part of their we have a CSA from them, and lots of melons this year. But anyway, they are doing perfectly happily.
Yeah. So I know because of our pledge drive, we're going to have to end a few minutes early, where I'd love to keep going on, go deeper into the story. But what lessons do you hope, or what actions do you hope that viewers will take away from this film?
Well, I think that the first thing we want people to do is to think about what they eat and how to connect to the local farmers and to support the kind of food systems that we're describing in the movie, to support the farmers, to also connect to, if you are of a more privileged position, to understand what it's like to live in a food desert, to develop empathy and concern and to help support people who have less. So in Portland, we have Village Gardens, which is not quite the same as Urban Tilth, but a similar kind of organization. And, you know, I think people need to find out more about what's happening in distressed communities close to where they live and to help in whatever ways possible, and to also take a stand on issues like GMOs and on fossil fuels and switching to a fossil fuel-free economy. And any other suggestions, Elaine?
I'm sorry, Barbara. I had something in my head. But what?
Okay. Well, I really encourage our listeners to go to the Hollywood Theater on September 25th at 7 p.m. to see Gaining Ground. And I want to thank you for the hard work that you do in bringing these stories to light and making this film.
May I just make a mention that Harry and Willow will be there and at the screening, and so will Harry McCormick.
And Vicki
Hurdle.
And her son.
From Sun Gold Farms, and her son Chris. So that'll be really cool.
And I also want to make a mention is that the pictures didn't mention that we are providing a few pairs of tickets to the screening of Hollywood Theater for thank you gifts for becoming a member of KBOO.
Very good. So if you can go to your website, it's mediaproject.org.
Mediaprojectonline.org.
Mediaprojectonline.org to learn more about the Media Project and to learn more about Gaining Ground. You can see a trailer there, but you want to go to the film. And so Barbara Bernstein, Elaine Velasquez, again, thank you so much for being on Health Watch today. And I'm Ellen Goldsmith, your host.
Thank you.
And I will see you next month. And I'm going to turn it over again to our fantastic pitchers, Bill and Ani, to talk more about becoming a member and how they can get some tickets. You can get some tickets to the show.
Yes, we have the information right here. And so that's why I'm going to tell you about it now. Once again, Sunday, September 25th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, which is on Sandy in Hollywood. And it's a $60 donation minimum for a pair of tickets, and we have two pairs. So that's how you do it. You call 877-500-5266, and you say to the operator, oh, I want a pair of those tickets, and I would be happy to give even more than $60 or whatever. But certainly that, and by the way, that's only $5 a month. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, and ask to give to get a pair of tickets. And the other thing about donating is that you can do it online at kboo.fm and click donate now. And then there's a third thing that we haven't talked about yet today, and that's what it means to be a member of KBOO. Because when you are a member, you can be truly directly involved in the programming. You can come to the programming committee, the board of directors meeting. I'm on the personnel committee, for instance. And you are truly a part of the organization of this radio station. It is not just the funding, which of course is important, 877-500-5266, but it is how we run.
It's true. Your membership actually does put you in the driver's seat. You know, we are a member-driven organization. So please do actually provide that fuel and direction for us with your active participation here at KBOO, 877-500-5266. $5 a month, $10 a month. It's so very easy to do, but it just takes a little action from you right now. 877-500-5266. Get a pair of tickets. Get go see Gaining Ground. You've been listening to Barbara. You've listened to Barbara for many years here, and you know that she is an amazing independent media activist. Whether she's using the audio alone or if she is doing video, you know that she is telling meaningful stories, and you can actually get a pair of tickets and see Gaining Ground and contribute to KBOO, keeping us all strong together.
By the way,
877-500-5266. Yeah, Bill?
I wanted to put in a word for the co-maker of this movie.
Well, yes.
And that would be Elaine Velasquez.
Yes.
So let's not forget, not only the great Barbara, who we hear so often on Locus Focus, but her partner in this documentary.
Indeed, and more. And so, you've just heard Elaine being interviewed with Barbara here on Ellen's show this morning. Please do, and Ellen is somebody who likes to look into health issues from alternate perspectives, and really how much more basic a health issue can you get than our diet, the food we eat, how we fuel our bodies, and how that fuel is made, right? Is it good, healthy food, and how do we, in fact, empower ourselves to be our healthiest, strongest selves, right? So that is the information you're getting here on KBOO this morning. And right now we're asking you to fund it. 877-500-5266.
Yeah. Urban Tilf. Grow your own, you know what I'm saying? Get down and dirty with it. If you grow it, they're going to eat it.
Up next on KBOO Portland, Radio Zine guest political writer Stephen Hill talks about his latest book, Expand Social Security Now.
The night doesn't like it.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. My guest is writer Stephen Hill. His latest book is Expand Social Security Now, How to Ensure Americans Get the Retirement They Deserve. And last year we spoke with Stephen about his book Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. And his previous books include Europe's Promise, Why the Europe